A Radio 191 FM podcast.
The R1 News headlines.
This is the R1 News Bulletin for Monday, the 6th of May. I'm Yana.
And I'm Jemima.
In international news, the Israeli government has shut down Al Jazeera's media operations in Israel, with the authorities raiding the network's Jerusalem-based office on Sunday. RNZ reports that plainclothes officers were seen seizing and dismantling broadcasting equipment belonging to the media network. Al Jazeera is a Qatar-owned media network that launched in 1996 and is the first independent news channel in the Arab world, in comparison to state-owned media. The shutdown follows a law passed by the Israeli government allowing them power to temporarily close down foreign broadcasters they deem to be a threat to national security. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet voted unanimously to close Al Jazeera's operations in Israel. The media network have been covering Israel's military operations in Gaza and is one of the few media outlets to remain in Gaza throughout the war. Al Jazeera condemned the Israeli government's decision to shut down their Israel-based media operations as a criminal act, saying the country's suppression of the free press stands in contravention of international and humanitarian law. In a statement, Al Jazeera says they reject the allegations presented by Israeli authorities, suggesting that they have violated professional media standards and alleged that this move adds to Israel's suppression of free press and an effort to conceal their actions in the Gaza Strip. Al Jazeera have reported over 140 Palestinian journalists have been killed since the beginning of the war on Gaza. Israel has denied targeting journalists. The current death toll in the Israel-Gaza war is over 36,000, with 35,114 Palestinian and 1,139 people in Israel.
The Columbia University pro-Palestine encampment has defied the deadline to disband the protest after leaders of the college warned that people would face disciplinary action if it continued beyond 2 p.m. on Monday the 29th of April, RNZ, BBC and The Guardian report. As the deadline passed, the university began suspending students, barring them from campus, leaving many students who were scheduled to graduate no longer permitted to do so. It is estimated that 280 people have been arrested across the protests at Columbia and the City University of New York, with police moving to end protests across the country. Law enforcement action has been criticized across the U.S., Louis Beckett of The Guardian reports, on the violent attacks from a counter-protest on the pro-Palestine student encampment at UCLA on Tuesday night, where law enforcement have been called out for their slow and unacceptable response. Protests have expanded, with Columbia demonstrators now occupying an academic building, and further protests have broken out amongst students and staff across the world, calling for institutions to disinvest from companies supporting Israel and the war in Gaza.
In Dunedin news, a new hub of life opens up for the residents of Dunedin as the George Street construction finally packs up and unveils the Totally Georgia's development. Being one of New Zealand's oldest retail shopping streets, the makeover was forecast to have a budget of $104 million. Since finishing 6 months ahead of time, over 900,000 hours of work and a 600,000 inner-city playground, specifically featuring seesaws, the project is attracting interest from new businesses. The local history and culture is woven throughout the infrastructure of the installations, featuring Indigenous Māori poetry from Hone Tufare and Janet Frame. With pedestrian priority, the street becomes more accessible with car parks available right outside the shop. However, some of the older established businesses, as well as Dunedin locals, have felt that the development comes with some flaws. Comments under the Otago Daily Times post have raised questions about the amount of parking available in lieu of the pedestrianisation of the street. In the Dunedin News Facebook group, commenters complained about crap parking options, car park buildings in the area always being full, and the price of parking in the Meridian being $5 an hour, with one commenter saying, "We wonder why the city is empty and shops are closing." However, the interconnectivity between shoppers and the free-flowing feel of the street is a delightful addition to the city centre. Mayor Jules Radich shed some light on the reality of the situation by acknowledging that some shoppers may prefer the way a shop used to be, but said that it should be a priority of everyone to enjoy the experience and move with the times. "I can't speak for everyone, but I will say that lots of us uni students are looking forward to walking down George Street after they graduate and finally getting the Totally Georgia experience they deserve."
In student news, on Wednesday, May 1st, the University of Otago's rebrand went ahead with a dawn ceremony. Critic reported that around 300 people attended, and it was held at the St. Dave's Cumberland Street entrance to campus, where the new tohu was unveiled, alongside its new te reo name, Otaku Toko Whakaihu Waka. The University of Otago's logo rebranding signifies a pivotal step towards inclusivity and recognition of Indigenous Māori culture, particularly Māori students. With the new ikau and the tohu representing elements of Māori design, the university is committing to embracing diversity and fostering an inclusive environment. This rebranding effort reflects the university's aspiration to become a Te Tiriti-led institution, where the principles of the treaty are not merely acknowledged but actively upheld in all aspects of its operations. Speaking on behalf of Te Ropu Māori, President Jamala spoke on the meaning of the new te reo name, which translates to a place of many firsts, saying, "As for a lot of tauira Māori, we are here redefining what it is and what it means to be Māori. As for a lot of our tauira, we are the first to finish secondary school, we are the first to leave our kāinga, and we are the first to attend the education system, we are the first to receive a tohu as we walk the stage at the Dunedin Town Hall. Us as tauira Māori embody and encompass Otako Whakaihu Waka. By accommodating the cultural needs and perspectives of mana whenua, the University of Otago is taking concrete steps towards reconciliation and partnership, ensuring that Māori voices are heard and respected within the oldest tertiary education institution of their country."
And on Saturday, unsurprisingly, Castle Street embraced the opportunity to crack out the decks and celebrate the internationally renowned event in pop culture, May the 4th. Death Star, a well-known named flat on the street, took on the role of the host, and the anticipation from breathers and beesies alike to head inside and see the squalor of the place was running high. Posters were advertised on the private Castle 24 Facebook page beginning a week in advance, with the local street DJs practicing their sets all week. The night was sure to promise big things. What an incredibly wholesome way to commemorate the beloved franchise. We all know it's just another chance to stand on the street and drink some piss. The party started at 5 but kicked on well into the night. Castle Street residents wondered if the May the 4th party would become a battleground for the ongoing beef between the boys of Death Star and HP, but there have been no reports of revenge on the 6th. If you weren't there to experience it in the flesh, I'm sure you heard the heavy D&B tunes all the way from your flat. I know I did.
This has been the R1 News Bulletin for Monday the 3rd of May. Today's bulletin was written by Yana Gleeson, Lauren Kirkbride and Jemima Lorimer, and read to you by Yana Gleeson and Jemima Lorimer.
That was the R1 News headlines. Catch up at r1.co.nz/news or find us at Radio 1 91 FM on Twitter or R1 News NZ on Instagram, and tune in to R1 News on weekdays.
This was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more at r1.co.nz or wherever quality content is found.